Julie Ryan, noted psychic and medical intuitive, is ready to answer your personal questions, even those you never knew you could ask. For more than 25 years, as she developed and refined her intuitive skills, Julie used her knowledge as a successful inventor and businesswoman to help others. Now, she wants to help you to grow, heal, and get the answers you've been longing to hear. Do you have a question for someone who's transitioned? Do you have a medical issue? What about your pet's health or behavior? Perhaps you have a loved one who's close to death and you'd like to know what's happening. Are you on the path to fulfill your life's purpose? No matter where you are in the world, take a journey to the other side and ask Julie Ryan.
Welcome to the Ask Julie Ryan Show, where we blend spirituality and practicality to help you live a life of purpose and joy. I'm delighted to welcome psychic medium Helen Peacock to the show. I'm looking forward to asking her questions like, how do spirits communicate? Is love eternal? And how can we bridge the gap between this world and the next to connect with our departed loved ones? So, whether you're in search of solace, guidance, or simply curious about the afterlife, this episode is your spiritual passport to a journey of discovery. Join us as we explore these questions and more on the Ask Julie Ryan Show. Oh, and please remember to subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your family and friends. Helen, welcome to the show. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We got to talk a couple months ago, something like that, when I was on your show.
Maybe 6 weeks ago, because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and we could have talked all day, and I said to her, okay, you got to come on my show so we can finish the conversation.
Absolutely. Here we are.
All right. Well, how do spirits communicate through you?
Well, that's through all our clairs. You know that. So I would have to say my favorite would be, not my favorite, but my strongest is probably clairaudient and clairvoyant. So mostly a lot of symbolisms.
So explain the clairs to somebody who's watching for the first time and don't have any clue what you're talking about.
Okay, so clairs are like your senses. So clairsentience, so that's feeling. That's another strong one of mine. Clairknowing, that's your inner knowing. You just know, you don't know how to explain. Clairaugustine, that's more like taste, right? Taste and smell. And clairvoyant is you can see spirit. I don't see spirit like as if it's an apparition. I see it more in my third eye as images. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
And clairaudient. So that's it's basically your senses heightened.
Yeah. And clairaudient is hearing, obviously.
Yes.
Auditory.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. Let me ask you a quick question and give me rapid response. First thing that comes into your brain. You ready?
Yep.
What do you remember about your first car?
What do I remember about my first car? That I didn't have my license.
Okay. So you gave me a feeling answer. Right?
Yes.
So do you get information kinesthetically? Do you feel it first?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing to keep in mind too is that it depends on the spirit that's coming through.
Well,
right? That's what I notice is depending, like if they were loud and obnoxious, you know, they're going to come through loud. They'll come through sound, right? I think it all depends on the spirit who you're communicating with as well. That's my thought.
It's been my experience that we receive intuitive information, whether we're trained how to do this or whether we've been having dead people chasing us since childhood. I'm not one of those people. I learned how to do all this stuff. And I know you did too. And I want to get into that here in a minute. But it's been my experience in teaching people around the world, many hundreds of people around the world, how to do all of this, that we're going to receive intuitive information, how we learn. I'm a visual learner. I meet you at a party and I see your name on a name tag, or if I see it on a roster or something, I'm going to remember your name. Otherwise, I'm going to remember you and your face, but I'm not going to remember your name.
Yes.
Now, if I was a clairaudient or if I was an auditory learner, then I would hear your name and it would just be there. But I need to see it. Now, all the other senses are there, like they are with us normally, your first car, will you remember how it felt? I remember what color my car was and what kind of car it was. But then I remember how it felt. And I remember how it sounded. And I remember all of that as well. And it's been my experience that that's how we receive intuitive information. And to your point earlier, you've got a spirit that's wanting to talk to you who's very boisterous. You know, you're going to feel them first, and then you're going to immediately go into, okay, this guy needs to turn down the volume a little here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I think that's interesting. Would you agree that everybody has the ability to communicate with spirit and to receive intuitive guidance?
100,000%.
Right.
100,000%. Yep. As long as they're open to it.
Yeah.
You know, it helps if they believe. But if they're open to it and just trust what they're receiving, that to me is the foundation, is trusting.
I agree. Well, and we all do it all day long. We just don't recognize we're doing it. I love it when somebody says, well, I don't get any intuitive information. I go, well, have you ever thought of somebody and then you either run into them or they call you or they text you or they send you an email and you think, I was just thinking of that person this morning. We've all experienced that. Did you?
I had it actually happen this morning. Yeah. I was thinking about a friend I hadn't seen for about a year now. Next thing you know, she's messaging me this afternoon. I was just like, gotta love when synchronicity, gotta love when the universe is playing, right?
Yeah.
Tapping into that. Oh, we're all on that same radio wavelength, I believe.
Yeah. Well, you must be psychic or something. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Must be psychic or something. You said love never dies. How do you explain that to someone who's grieving and is hesitant to believe in life after death, you know, mediumship, woo-woo, spirituality? How do you explain that to somebody like that?
Well, when you're explaining it, right, especially if you're in the middle of a session, I like to say that the essence of your loved one still remains the same. The only thing that's different is they're no longer in their vessel. So if they can grasp onto that, and when the loved one's coming through with validation in regards to their personality, those unique validations, where does that come from? You know, it's just like, how did you know that? So when you can give those validations from the loved ones, then it gives them that idea, okay, there is something to this. Obviously, how did this woo-woo lady, that's why I say the joke, how does this lady know, how does this woman know all these things that I've never told a single soul? So that must be a validation that my loved one is still with me. And I always say they are with you, just in a different way. Right?
Kind of like the ice cube was once water.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the water was once steam, or, you know, was in a cloud and came in as rain and then evaporated. And
turned into a snow.
Turned into snow. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many different variations, right?
Right. But I think that that's a good description, though. And we all understand that. Because we learned that in, what, second grade or something? You know, the ice cube melts into water and then it evaporates. And
Yeah. It's a good metaphor.
I agree. You're a third generation psychic medium. And you say that you get that from your Scottish and your Irish heritage.
Yes.
Okay. I want to know that whole story.
Not much. Story, because my grandmother's cat was Catholic, so they weren't allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, well, how do you know that she was a medium?
Through my mom. My mom's pretty psychic as well, but mostly from another psychic when my grandmother passed away and tapped into that and started, you know, she's the one that came through with the validations, the psychic. And it was my first time kind of like at a psychic fair, like we're talking many, many moons ago. And she's the one that said to me, she goes, I have your grandmother here. I believe she just recently passed. This is what she looks like. Are you aware that she was very much psychic, but kept it hush, hush, right? And so I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't 100% sure. And she says, now she's passed the gift on to you, right? So it's kind of bypassed my mom in essence, because just for personal reasons, my mom just doesn't tap into it. She can, but she doesn't, if that makes any sense. And so all of a sudden, my whole world changed, like without even looking, nothing. It just all of a sudden, people started coming into my life. Lots of synchronicities and serendipities. And then all of a sudden it was just like, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher will come. That's how it started. It started off with healing modalities first. Every healing modality I studied, and then of course my frequency became stronger and stronger, and all of a sudden information started coming through, and I didn't know how to use it. I didn't know how to understand it. I was like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand what's going on. I need some help, right? So that's what I had to do, is I had to put it out there, and then my teacher came, just started from there. And I've had many teachers along the way, many, many teachers. Plus, I have had a great aunt who is very well known for tea leaf reading.
What's that? Explain what that is.
Tea leaf reading is like where they take the grounds. So you have a little, you sit in front of your reader, sip the tea, then it's all loose tea leaves. Then you turn the cup upside down after you're finished drinking it, of course. And then you flip the cup back over. And so the patterns, right? They read the patterns of the leaves in the cup. To me, you and I both know what that means. It's like reading tarot. You're just reading the information. Like, you're forming it, but you're channeling at the same time. So she was known for that. Do you agree with that? Like, you know, sometimes when you look at tarot, it's not just the information from the guidebook you're downloading, you're receiving. So I believe it's the same way in tea leaf reading. It's the symbolism. It's the patterns. It's like you're channeling and tapping into what's in the cup, the energy that's in the cup.
I never thought about it because I've never done any of that stuff.
No?
No. I've never used tarot cards. I've never done.
And I don't either.
Leaves or anything. Yeah. It just, spirit communicates through me and with me. But when you were talking about that, I got an absolutely, that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And they're just using that as kind of an aid. It's like somebody that's using a pendulum. You know, they'll ask a question and a pendulum will twirl a certain way, or frontwards or backwards or whatever.
It's like a focus point. Right.
Right.
And then it makes the sitter feel a bit more comfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of like looking at each other or whatever, because some people are uncomfortable with it, but I look at it, it's like looking in a crystal ball. It's a focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't do, by the way.
Well, and I think it helps the person who's doing the channeling to feel like they have an aid to help them, perhaps, which is interesting, but it's been around since forever.
Forever.
And and the pendulum thing, and I've never used one, but I have friends who use them. And my one friend, Janine, oh my gosh, that thing will start twirling and it'll be like, it'll just go nuts. And her hand is perfectly still. And it just goes nuts on certain questions.
There is some truth to that, but you really have to be careful of your wording, how you ask the questions. That's the key. And when I first started tapping into all of this, I did, you know, I was intrigued by the pendulum. But what happened was, I was gifted pendulums, or I would buy certain pendulums. I was drawn to it, and every single one of them went missing.
Really?
Every single one. And I'm like, what the heck? Until I got the download saying, yeah, you're not to use that. You need to trust. You need to start channeling. You're putting all your trust into that. And I caught on. I was like, that makes total sense. So that's why I was like, no, I'm not using tools. I'm just going to tap into, just like yourself, just through my clairs.
Turn it on. Boom. It's there. And then
turn on.
That's it. And to your point about, you have to be cognizant of how the question is asked. That is so important, not just with a pendulum, but I'm aware of that all the time too. And I always say spirit, super, super literal. And so how we ask the question is gonna determine the kind of answer we get. And the example I use in this, and see if this makes sense to you, Helen, I'll say, well, if you ask your dead grandma, hey, grandma, are we gonna enjoy the movie? And you get a yes, you hear a yes in your head. And then you guys are watching some movie tonight. It's awful. And then you can say, Grandma, what's up with that? And well, the way you ask the question could pertain to any movie you're going to watch for the rest of your life. Whereas if you said, hey, Grandma, are we going to enjoy watching Frozen 2 on Disney Plus tonight?
Yes.
See, that's really specific. And And I have you found that too, that spirit's super literal. I don't know if they were all potty trained too early or what's up with that, but they are super, super, super literal. And I think it's because when they feel like they're giving us guidance, you know, they want to be super literal. What do you think about that?
No, I totally agree. Totally agree. And that's why sometimes I do second guess. It's like, did I just answer myself? Right? Because we hear our own voice.
Yeah.
It's in our own voice. It's very subtle. So then it's a matter of trusting. So sometimes I will ask, okay, let me smell it or give me something a little bit more. But I'm also that person too, where I like my answers in threes.
Oh.
Yeah. If I'm meant to do this, I want it shown to me in threes.
Huh.
Right? Throughout that day or the next 2 days. And if I don't get any, then I know I'm not supposed to.
Interesting.
It's kind of like playing a game, but and it doesn't have to be in threes in the same way. It could be, the answer could be given from the TV. It could be given from hearing a conversation with two people at the tail end of the conversation, or it could be an advertising on the bus going by, boom, 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 three different ways, right? And so, but that's also creating your awareness. And I'm that person where I'm always aware. Like when I'm looking at something, I take in everything. So if anything went down, a police officer came to ask me something, then I was like, this is what I saw. Boom, 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 boom.
What are you, a secret agent in a different lifetime?
Absolutely. I do. And that's why I love crime shows, to try to figure things out. I take in everything.
Oh my
when I'm
gosh.
Watching a movie, I'm not just seeing what's in front. I'm seeing everything around. That whatever is going down, right? Take every, my hex used to give me crap all the time. Would you just watch the movie?
Yeah, interesting. You know, that would be fun to do a past life thing and see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, you were probably part of Scotland Yard or something in a past life.
Probably. Or, MI6.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, Bond. You might have known Bond, James Bond.
I might have been one of his women.
Although he didn't stay with any of them, so I don't know that you want to do that. Oh gosh, we digress. All right, so back to the three. You know, three in the Bible is the number for divine perfection. So it's interesting to me that you want to see three of something.
Yeah.
Seven is spiritual perfection. That's my other favorite number, but three is divine perfection.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So there's that. I want to go back to the Scottish and Irish heritage for a minute, because certainly the Druids and the, you know, the Celts and the St. Patrick and the, you know, in Ireland with the woodland fairies and the fairy trees and the pot of gold and the leprechauns.
They really connected their elementals there.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of the Stonehenge there, and the energy is unreal.
Is that right?
So I've been to England, Scotland, and Ireland. And I love all three, but when I step on the grounds of Scotland, I'm home. It's just the air, the smell, everything about it. Even though they're very similar, there's just something about Scotland. And I know it's a past life thing as well. But yeah, have you ever been?
I haven't been to Scotland. I've been to Ireland.
Yeah, you gotta go into the Highlands. And then again, checking it all. And when you go on road trips, you don't want to do a bus tour. We discovered it was my uncle that took us, and we just ended up, I don't even know the name of the place, but it wasn't a very popular place, but the Henges there were just unreal.
Huh. One of my best friends, Mary, her husband is just obsessed with Scotland. And I think she likes Scotland a lot too, but oh my gosh. I mean, he knows, and they live in Minneapolis. So,
yeah.
But he's got Scottish heritage and he's just obsessed with it.
And you know, that's our history, because if you notice, a lot of well-known mediums are from the UK, a lot of them. And it's the energy there. It was their life. That's what I believe is part of their life, right?
Interesting. The whole King Arthur and the Round Table, you know, and the Camelot and all that jazz. Okay. I met an author named Sydney Pike, and she wrote, I want to say, a trilogy, speaking of threes. And they're based on Arthurian legend, like the Lady in the Lake and Merlin the Magician and all that jazz. And we all think that it happened in what, Nottingham Forest in the UK, in England. Well, she has done historical research. And so her books are novels based on historic figures and historical information. And she has found information that corroborates with the Lady on the Lake and the Knights of the Round Table and stuff like that. And then what she's done is she's taken that, her books are fabulous, but what she's done is she's shown in her book how this started out as something that happened and then became a legend and then blah, blah, you know, the old telephone game. It got embellished as you went on. But she has these footnotes at the end of her book and it'll say, okay, this place in Scotland, this is where this originated. It's fascinating. I wonder if you think that a lot of the legends really have evolved that way.
I believe so. And it's funny how you brought up Lady of the Lake, because when I was younger, it was right around the time where I just discovered Shirley MacLaine. She was one of my firsts, right? And nobody else in my circle, no one was into New Agey, nothing. I was all by myself. And I even had a picture, and I have no idea where it came from, but I remember it hanging in my bedroom, Lady of the Lake, holding the light.
Yeah.
Right at the tip of the boat there. And it's just, I was always, always drawn to that picture and not knowing why. Right. So when you look at things, you know, when they say, what were you really interested in when you were a child? And then it kind of leads into whether it's past life things or somehow there's that connection. I'm getting chills as I'm talking about it.
I am too.
But it's just like there's got to be that connection, like you said, right around King Arthur, Merlin, all that time frame, and how fascinating this, like the storyline.
Yeah.
Definitely. So when you're drawn into that magical world, obviously, somehow there is that connection.
Well, the other thing that I neglected to mention, which is the most important part about this author, this Sydney Pike, is she says that King Arthur and the Round Table and all of that didn't happen in England. It all happened in Scotland.
Wouldn't doubt it.
So you land in Scotland and you're getting the chills, you know, as soon as you set foot on Scottish soil, and all of that, not to mention all the centuries of the Druids and the Celts and the whatever else, Knights Templar and, you know.
So, and I do have a Scottish bloodline. That's my first, and then Irish, right? So my grandmother was Scottish and my grandfather was Irish. So that's on my mother's side, the maternal side. And my dad's side, both are Scottish, but the ironic thing is, have you ever heard of the Black Donnellys?
Yes.
That's my maiden name.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Okay. So explain what that means to those who don't know.
The Black Donnellys were a family that originated from Ireland, and they were a nasty, mean family. Very nasty. And so, no, I'm not connected with them. Just putting that out there. My dad makes sure that it's like, no, but they originated from Ireland and made it over to Scotland. But for some reason, I forget how, but we're not connected with them. Oh, that was the thing is, our name got changed. So we used to be O'Donnell. And then for some reason, my great-great-grandfather came and changed it to Donnelly. I don't know why. I dropped the O. And so there's that part of the heritage. But now when you think of where I'm located, this is the ironic thing is I live in Ontario of Canada, right? Ontario, Canada. And about 2 hours away from here, that family moved to Lucan, Ontario, 2 hours away from here, from where I live. And they were known, they did the same thing, destroyed farms, destroyed families. There were murders, really nasty Black Donnelly family. And they still hold tours, haunting tours, 2 hours away from where I live. So that's just kind of ironic.
I'm going to come up and we can go on one of those tours. Would we have such a ball? Oh my God.
I know. I've never been. I've always put it on my bucket list. One day I'll make it out there. It's only a 2 hour drive.
Yeah.
I should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with you.
I'll use the married name.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite stories is about, and Ryan, of course, is Irish. And one of my favorite stories is about an American archaeologist that was in Ireland, and he was taking a non-scientific poll, and he was just asking people on the street, do you believe in fairies? And the, magically delicious Lucky Charms, pot of gold, woodland fairies, all of that. And he said that the best answer he got was this woman said, no, sir, I do not. And they're everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. And then the other thing is my friend who lives in Ireland, I was asking her about the fairy trees that they have on the farms. And she sent me a picture of it. It just looks like a thorny bush. But she said, these farmers, she said, you never cut down a fairy tree. They plow around it. They'll have these gigunda fields of whatever they're growing. And they'll just plow around this bush with all these thorns in it, which is the fairy trees. Yeah, look it up. She sent me a picture of it, and it was hilarious. Okay, so to connect with a deceased loved one when you're working with a client, do you need to be with the family in person? Do you need to be holding something that belonged to the deceased loved one? How do you do that?
No, it's all about intention, right?
So walk us through a typical session.
In person, I just make sure I welcome them, make sure they're comfortable, right? Check in with them. I usually try to do a little bit of a humor more than anything, right? Just to lighten them up or whatever. I always crack some kind of a joke or whatever. And then I just ask them, what are you hoping to receive from what are you hoping to get out of your session today? And sometimes they'll let me know, I want to connect with my dad or I want some closure. Sometimes it's just spiritual guidance. And then what I'll do is I'll give them the option. I'll say, if there's a specific loved one that you wish to connect with, this is where I suggest just give me the name. Because what that does, I like to say it's like making a direct call. It's like speeding up the process. And so when I say the name, it's like I'm connecting to the energy of the name. So telepathically, it's like, okay, George, if you're here, blend in with me. I'm giving you permission to blend in with me so I can feel the true essence of who you are. It's like, you know, I used to do acting back in the day. So it's like I become the character, right? So that's if they choose to blend in with me. Usually they do. And I ask the sitter to, like, please make sure you're watching me, because sometimes, you know, facial expressions, mannerisms, I'll sit a certain way, right? Sometimes the accent will come on if they spoke a different accent. So it's like I actually kind of become them. I know it sounds kind of really woo-woo. And then it's just trusting the first thing that comes to me, right? And that's sometimes they'll give to me how they transition. Sometimes they'll give to me what the loved one just recently did, so that the loved one here in the physical realm knows that their loved ones were there in that particular moment. So depending on the connection of the loved one, I'm just the messenger. I'm the one that's bridging two worlds together. And I just trust, and I say to my client, whatever you are meant to receive, that's what you're going to receive. It's going to help you move forward, whatever you're meant to receive. So leave all your expectations at the door. Your loved ones know why you're here. Just trust. But more importantly, also have fun with it. Because they think it's all doom and gloom and so serious. Like, no, let's lighten things up, because that raises the frequency in the room as well, right? If you bring laughter and joy, right? It just brings up the frequency. So again, I leave it up to the loved ones in spirit, but I do mention to my clients as well, we may have one that will dominate the whole session, or we may have a whole family reunion. You never know who's going to drop in, right? Or you're going to be a messenger for another family member, or you're going to be a messenger for a coworker. You never know who's going to drop in. And that's what I call them, drop-ins.
Have you ever heard of Cozy Earth bedding? It's your ultimate luxury escape. Cozy Earth sheets are temperature regulating and incredibly soft, and they even have a 10-year warranty. They're made from organic bamboo and silk, are hypoallergenic, and even antimicrobial. Cozy Earth sheets are so amazing. They've been on Oprah's favorite things list for 5 years in a row, and I have them on my bed right now. So if you're ready to elevate your sleep, Cozy Earth has a special offer just for my listeners. Go to cozyearth.com and use the code AskJulie for a 35% discount. That's C-O-Z-Y earth.com and use code AskJulie for a 35% discount. Upgrade your sleep with Cozy Earth bedding. I love them and so will you. How I do it is I just cut to the chase. Who do you want to talk to? Because they'll say, well, who's around me? I'll say, I'm not going to live long enough to talk about who's all around you. There's too many thousands of them. You know, who do you want to talk to? I'm a businesswoman. Cut to the chase.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like I'm a translator. I'm hearing what they're saying in my mind. I'm seeing things. I'm feeling things. And I'm talking to them. And they'll ask a question or make a statement. And then I'll give them the answer. I never feel like the spirit with whom we're communicating enters my body or anything. I feel like I'm a translator on the, you know, on the phone, translating between French and English or something. Translate between spirit and English here. And if it's something, I find it's interesting when I'm talking to spirits that didn't speak English, it doesn't matter. The language doesn't matter because they're going to communicate to us in a way that we understand so we can convey whatever their messages are. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, well, it's like connecting with pets. It's the same thing. It's not bark, bark, meow, meow, right? It's all telepathic. It's what they impress on us. And I also find, too, if they did speak another language, if I'm struggling to communicate, that's how I'll know. It's like, okay, I'm having a little bit of a block here. I'm like, so did your mom, did she not speak English? That wasn't her first tongue? Because I can feel that I'm struggling a little bit. So I know there's another language and I don't know what that language is. And they're like, yeah, they didn't speak English. But they do that purposely because that's a validation. It's like, and that's one of the questions sometimes I'll get asked, especially in a group session. They'll say, well, what if my mom didn't speak English? How are you going to connect? It's like, well, it's all telepathic. Like you said, it's just like they know, right? They're very intelligent beings.
Right. Right.
So intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. They have access to all information, past, present, and future.
Oh, well, we're multidimensional beings, right?
I agree. Along those lines of when I want to explore a little bit what it feels like to you when a spirit, you say a spirit kind of, you know, enters your body, you're still aware, right? You're still
100%.
Okay. So can you explain to us what that feels like and how you know that the spirit's entered and how do you know the spirit's gone?
Again, it's a lot of, it's a feeling. Again, it's the manipulation. It's like the way I'll sit or whatever. I just feel the energy within me. Right. And then I can sense if it's a female, if, you know, say she was a performer, I'll just become that. Or if she was just not the best communicator and a very strict mother, I will feel that. And it's like my body language the body language changes, it shifts. I know it's just, but it's something that I'm aware of and I've had it too. I'll share one really, really quickly. So I did a group here and it was in the summertime. So I was barefoot and luckily I had a pedicure done that day, but it was a young lad that was coming in. I'm going to say he was probably in his early 20s. And so there was families like brothers and sisters and mums and dads. Like it was just a whole big family who wanted to connect just with this one boy, if you want to call him that. And I kept looking down at my feet and I'm looking at my feet and I'm looking up at them and they're all looking at me like, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I believe he had a foot fetish because he keeps looking at my feet and he's going on about the color of my toes. And they all started laughing and they're going, we were hoping he was going to do that because that's what he was known for. He had a huge foot fetish.
Funny. Wow.
And they were going on. It's like, when we saw you looking at your toes, the way that you were looking at your toes, we knew right away, like that was the valve. That's all he needed was that. And they knew that I had connected with him. Right, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just pushing because that's what they do is they'll move your energy. They'll shift you. It's like they take over a little bit. But to have me looking at my own toes and I'm like, okay, why do I keep looking at why are you looking at my feet? You must be good. So having that conversation with them, right? And then it's for me to trust to say that.
Yeah. Well, and that comes with practice.
And the reason why I remember that, because you don't remember all your sessions, you read for so many people, but because that was so unique, that's why that one stands out. You always get those odd ones where you're just like, well, I'm never going to forget that one.
Right, right. Why is it that we don't remember our sessions? Why do you think that is?
It's an order, like, you know, you're in an altered state. You're not going to remember. I did a group reading probably about just before Valentine's. And there was about just, it was an intimate group. And there was about 12 of us. And I was coming near the end of the session. And all of a sudden I come to this woman and my whole body just shifted. Like, I sat like a man, right? And I'm just looking at her. And all of a sudden I went, hey. And she just sat back and I go, how's it going? You didn't think I was going to come through, did you? And she, tears just started coming down her eyes. And he's like, you know, I'm not a romantic, but buy yourself some flowers for Valentine's. And she lost it. Like, I just totally became him. The whole room just went, what the? Because I went from crying to grandmothers and moms and dads coming through to this guy who was like a smoker, you know, just not the communicator, not a romantic at all. And she goes, that's all I needed. It was her husband, right? That's all I needed. I know he was here. That's it. I'm looking right at him. You are him. You are him, right? And it's because I allowed him in. Everything. And I'm like, thank you so much for dropping in. Because you always have to thank the loved ones coming. It's like, thank you so much for coming in the way that you did. Because, you know, and they know that I'm giving permission for that, right? It's like I said, it's the character coming to life. And she just looked at me. She's like, that's all I needed. And everybody in the room was like, whoa, you went from here to here, right? And so that's where I thank spirit. It's just like, thank you for shifting things up, right?
So how do you know when they're gone and when they're out of your body?
You just feel it. It's just a light to become lighter.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That doesn't happen all the time, just so you know.
Well, and the other thing that fascinates me is your background as an actress, because I have a friend who's a Broadway star. Uh-huh. And she was starring in a show several years ago about June Carter Cash. And there was a part in the show where she would go out into the audience. And she said she was always nervous because she didn't know whether or not she was going to be able to do it, whether it was going to work. And she said June Carter Cash's spirit. And this was before, she's a graduate of my class, but this was before she learned how to do woo-woo, but she said it was like June Carter Cash's spirit came in. She performed the 20 minutes in the audience. She went back up on stage and she thought, what the heck just happened? But she said they were clapping, so I figured it was okay. And she said that happened, what, they performed 7 times a week, I think. And it was just really something. And she said that's when she knew that something was going on. When you were talking about the feet, I was talking to a woman one time who is a psychiatrist, and she was talking about schizophrenics. And she said when somebody's in a different personality, not only do their mannerisms and their speech and all of that change, but their heart rate can change. And if you do a blood test, you know, they may show up as diabetic when they're in that personality, or they may show up with some other physical ailment that they normally don't have. Which I thought was wild. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope. Can't say that I have.
Yeah. She said it's very common when working with schizophrenics that not only will that personality change, but all the physiologic, not all, but a lot of the physiological stuff will change too.
That does make sense. Yeah. Does make sense.
So like somebody becomes a smoker or they're not, but I'd never heard the blood tests and the heart rate and the, you know, high blood pressure or diabetes or things like that. I'd never heard that part of the equation before.
Nope, that's something new for me today.
Yeah. We talked a minute ago about frequency. You talked about when you took a bunch of classes that it raised your frequency. Say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I started tapping into touch therapy. You know, I'm a firm believer, I know not everyone's going to agree with me on this, is whenever you do any kind of touch therapy, massage, Reiki, you're just a conduit. I just feel that's me, right? And so when I started tapping into that, I noticed that, you know, my frequency was getting stronger because I could sense the connection you know, to that realm was the veil was becoming thinner for me. So, and again, it was just trusting. Guides are with you. They're pushing me forward, all of that. So that's where it all started. It's just tapping into all of that, that realm.
Well, and it's been my experience too. And I'd love to hear your take on this is that spirit's a high vibration because they don't have the density of the body to slow down the vibration. And so when we're wanting to communicate with spirit, we need to raise our vibrational level because spirit doesn't communicate on the I feel crappy channels because the vibration's too low. Do you agree with that?
100%. And that's one of the reasons why too, that I try not to see clients when their loved ones just transitioned because they're still grieving here in the physical realm. Like their energy is very heavy and dense and low and slow because of where they're at. And so that's why I say, you know, you're going to have a stronger connection maybe several months from now. You'll be more aware. You won't be, you know, in your grieving as heavy as you are right now. Right. And plus, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but I also feel that I also want to give the loved one in spirit time to transition as well. Like they're back at home. So give them a little bit of space to rediscover being back at home, right? So it's kind of honoring both worlds. How do you feel about that?
I know a lot of mediums believe that you shouldn't talk to them for a certain period of time, the spirit. I have not found that to be the case because I talk to spirits all the time when they're attached to bodies. That's how I do my medical scans and everything else.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's dad passed on Valentine's morning. And a couple of days later, he was sitting on a couch in my bedroom wanting to have a conversation. But he came to me because his family was in grief. So it was a low vibration. So it was going to be more difficult for him to communicate with them because let's say he's like on the classic rock station frequency and they're on the country music frequency and, you know, it's not going to compute. But me being an unaffected person, I mean, certainly I feel badly for my girlfriend and her family, but he came to me with information for them. And I find that when people are in grief, it clouds their clarity. So perhaps by recording the information, either in an email or in an audio recording, it helps because they may perceive something differently when they're a little bit farther along in their grieving process.
Well, you agree. And sometimes, too, I feel that it depends on how the loved one passed. Like if it's a tragic passing, you know, neither of them are expecting, well, the soul knows, but still, it's just like, like you said, it depends. Imagine me coming through. Well, you know, I bulldoze in just because of my energy, your energy. We've done the work. We know what it's like. So us, we would be different. It's like, no, I'm not waiting around. I'm getting down there. I'm getting in there. So I think depends on the loved one as well. The loved one in spirit, I think it makes a difference as well.
Well, back to the clarity thing. I talked to a client this morning whose mom died by suicide. And as part of the grieving process, guilt is always one of the components. And she was feeling guilty that she didn't do enough to help her mom. And she was feeling like maybe it was her fault that her mom died. And I said, honey, I hate to burst your bubble, but nobody has that kind of power. We all decide when we go, where we go, who's there with us when we go, what the circumstances are. Even if somebody's shot, like a gunshot or something, well, there are a lot of people that are shot that don't die. It's the person's spirit who decides whether they're going to transition or not.
Yeah.
Do you have a thought about that one way or the other?
No, you explained it very good.
Okay. All right. I want to change directions here for a second, something that is really fun. You are a graduate of the Arthur Findlay School in England, which is like a modern day Hogwarts. So I want to hear.
But I didn't go there.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I was trained from the tutors from there. No, I would love to have gone. That was way too expensive for me at that time. No, they came here. they came here. So I took time out, but I'm still, they're still from there. That's where they were trained. So like, it still say that I've been trained, just not, I wasn't there physically. And trust me, I would love to go visit that place, just like you said, a Waldorf school. But it is funny because I was trained by Andy Bing. He's like one of the top tutors there. And he would, we ended up getting a place up north here on the water. And it was set up just like that. Like the benches was actually set up. It's like the teachers were all on one side and the students were all on the other side. So it was kind of like the same kind of setup, just no British grounds.
I was going to ask you if the paintings talked. Would you like in Harry Potter?
I could just imagine.
We watched the first movie, gosh, a couple weeks ago. One of our grandsons was over and he was saying, hey, you want to watch Harry Potter? I hadn't seen that in forever.
I just watched it for the first time just after Christmas.
Oh, that's my favorite of all of them. The first one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my parents were still alive. Our son Jonathan was little. He was maybe 7 or 8 when it came out. And we were visiting in Columbus, Ohio, and my parents were with us. They were still alive then. And I remember in the middle of the movie, my dad leaned over to me and he said, oh my God, this music. And I said, it's John Williams. You know, of course it's fantastic. And it's just, it's so magical and so much fun. And fast forward, I've been to the Harry Potter world at Universal Studios in LA with my son, who's now grown and married. And there are things there in that park that I remember saying to Jonathan, my son, I remember saying, I've seen that. I've seen that in scans. I've seen that in dreams. I've seen that. Well, of course, J.K. Rowling was channeling all of that. I mean, my gosh, the imagination. No, please. She was channeling every piece of it. But it was interesting to me that some of those components that were in the park that were taken out of the books, and I never read the books and I didn't see all the movies, but I had seen those scenarios before. Point being, I guess my question is, do you think that when we're channeling information, I believe every author, every composer, every artist, we're all channeling. I mean, we channel, what do we want for breakfast, for God's sakes? We're all being led. But what do you think that a lot of us are seeing the same thing? Or we're just seeing it through our perception? It's always different because it's always coming through in a different way.
Yeah, I believe it's our perception because I think it depends on our library information, right? You're going to receive differently than I receive differently. But definitely, I know like Nikola Tesla, the directors from Star Trek, you know, Star Wars, and all of that. I know, look at famous pianists, you know, when they were starting out playing the piano at 5 years of age. I know a lot of us are channeling the healers. Where do you get your information from? Like, you know, when you're channeling, it's like, where did that come from? We're all capable of doing it. And if you're in a meditative state, especially if you're in a meditative state. But I love the fact that I J.K. Rowling, I can guarantee she probably didn't know she was channeling.
Oh, absolutely. George right? Lucas, absolutely.
Nope. Oh. They probably didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, even somebody like Oprah. Oprah was being led to do the things that she's done. Shirley MacLaine was probably my first exposure to all of this stuff as well on the Oprah show. I mean, that was gutsy for her to have Shirley MacLaine.
I saw that show.
Out on a limb, and literally Oprah was going out on a limb to have her on her show. And look at what she's opened up, which I think has been there since the beginning of time and people have believed in it. But as we become more well-educated and more proof-based, we want to see proof for things that we're getting. Which leads me to the evidential medium concept. Please explain that and tell everybody how that comes into play in the work that you do.
So whenever you see evidential, that's how you know that you've been trained or that medium has been trained by Arthur Findlay, because they have their specifics. names, dates, license plates, things like that. So they're very strict in that sense. I don't lean towards that. I took some training from that. So basically, out of all my teachers, I take a little bit of the ingredients from all of them. But evidential, they're very specific. It's like, you're a medium only if you do this. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm a rebel. Sorry. I didn't follow that. Because I remember when I'm putting it out there, I remember once stepping off the platform. I had to do a demonstration. So when I was being taught out of the classroom, there was two of us. Each teacher had to choose two students from their class. And then we came together in the big auditorium and then showed it to the whole school, right? So I was one of them. And apparently there was when we were doing the platform in front of the audience, I stepped down, not realizing I'm doing it. And all of a sudden it's like, nope, get back up there. I was just very strict that way, right? And I tend to drop the F-bomb in there a little bit. So yeah, I'm a badass. So I'm like, yeah, I can't follow the rules of evidential mediumship. It's just not my bag kind of thing, right? So just being completely honest and transparent about that. But there are some that they're like, nope, boom, boom. This is the way I was taught. This is the way it's going to be. And it's like, well, you know what? To me, when it comes to the universe, when it comes to loved ones, there are no rules.
Really? Right. Yeah.
Ethics, perhaps. Perhaps. Right? I'm that person that, you know, people will say, well, what about if you're standing in line and you're picking up, would you turn around and give that person a reading? I'm like, absolutely not. That's not my place. I do not know that person. That goes against the ethics. If I'm meant to give a message, that person's going to contact me. I will not go up to a stranger and say, by the way, this is what I'm getting. Because you have no idea what you just set yourself up with, you know, in that sense, or it's a sense of responsibility. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I agree. And it comes into play primarily when I'm doing medical scans. I was doing one this morning for a client and her dad. The client
was
what
I was hoping you were going to do for me today.
Well, the client was in Hong Kong and her dad was in India. And so I said, well, I'm going to connect to you and then I'm going to connect to him through you. And I'm going to ask his permission to scan him, because if he says no, I'm going to ask him telepathically. If he says no, I won't do it because I believe it's an invasion of his privacy. And it's an ethical thing. And I agree. If I'm seeing a spirit around somebody, I usually don't have my radar turned on during the, when I'm out.
The store's closed.
Well, I turn it on when I need it, if I'm working or if I want to communicate with a spirit for myself or a loved one or something like that. But I just do regular stuff. I'm like, I'm cooking dinner or doing laundry or whatever, running errands. Exactly. So there's that. Is there a common question that people want to know from their deceased loved one? Is there something that you hear almost from every person with whom you work of something that they're asking their loved one?
I would probably say the number one question is, you know, were you right near the end? It's always right near the end. Were you in pain? Were you suffering? Is everything okay? How are you over on the other side? You know, what's going on over there? You seeing mom? You seeing dad? And it's always around the end, always at the end. So I would have to say that's the number one. Are they okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I get. How are you doing? Are you okay? That's the number one question that I get. And on the evidential medium thing, I don't have rules. I just convey what I get. And a couple of days ago, I was talking with a client and we were talking with her deceased dad. And he said, I loved the day that I died. When you were in the room, you were wearing the blue dress that I bought for your mother.
Wow.
And she said, oh my God, I was wearing the blue dress that he had bought for my mother. And I said, well, he's just letting you know that we're really talking to him. And that's evidence to her. Yeah. And we get that all the time. But I think when we go into rules and regulations, we're in fear that we're not gonna be able to do it correctly. And when we're in fear, fear's a low vibration. So you can lose connection with the spirit.
Yes. And it's remembering, not remembering, but it's knowing that they're alive. You're not talking to a dead person. You're talking to a live being, right? Just, again, you don't necessarily see them, but it's in saying that to the loved ones here in the physical realm, it's like they are here.
Right.
You just can't see them.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can, but not every medium can. You're very fortunate that way, but I don't see apparitions. I'm the one that sees all the orbs and, you know, the beings of lights, you know, flickers of lights and things like that. But I'll see them in the mind's eye, depending on what they want to show me. Right. But yeah, I'm a firm believer of this. Go with the flow, whatever you're meant to know. Right.
Right. Right. And be open to the interpretation, because spirit communicates in signs and symbols and words and phrases. So one of my favorite stories is a client, we were talking with her deceased husband in heaven, and she said, he hasn't given me any signs or anything. And I said, well, you've got to be open to interpretation, number one, be open to how you're going to see it. And number two, he may give you a sign for something that hasn't happened yet. So he said, for me to tell her to look for the peacock. She goes, look for the peacock? I live in Boston. We don't have any peacocks here. I said, I'm just telling you what he's telling me. So she emailed me about 5 minutes after I got off the phone with her, Ellen, and she said, I opened my Facebook page and the first thing that showed up was a big picture of a peacock. I said, well, that's him letting you know that he's there and he's around you and he's with you. So I think it's important to be open. I told her, I said, you may see a peacock in a magazine. You may see it in a movie. You may see somebody wearing a peacock brooch or a sweater with peacocks on it.
Just the word peacock. There's so many different variations.
That's right.
And one of the things, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I always say signs are not signs if you're waiting there sitting and looking for them. Signs are signs when they show up in your experience without you knowing, when you least expect it. Right? Because then that's where your intuition kicks in, your psychic ability, your inner knowing will go, that's dad. That's for sure. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, but if you're just sitting there, okay, dad, if you're here, I want to see a blue jay right now. Then you're putting, you know, you're limiting yourself, and then you'll still doubt it.
Yeah. Because you're in fear that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, but in addition to that, or I should say, and in addition to that, we can ask our loved ones for signs, and then we'll hear something in our head and then be open to what the sign is. That's very common as well. I got two more questions for you as we're winding down here because we're running out of time. First of all, why do we incarnate?
Why do we incarnate? I'm going to have to say to experience life. Why we're here is to experience. Spiritual beings living this human existence, to experience being human, to feel everything, to experience everything. And if I do believe in reincarnation, and if there's something that you didn't learn the first time around, then you got to come back and perhaps learn it the second time, right? Until you get it right. So, you know, there's so many variations, but I do believe that we're here just to experience being human and to enjoy it. You know, life's all about choices. So you get to choose, right? That's what this planet is known for, that we are the ones that get to choose and we get to sense and feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great answer. You are so fun and I could talk to you all day long. But in the meantime, how do people find you? How do they learn more about you and your work?
My website's very easy, ellenpeacock.ca. You can find me there. I also have a podcast as well called Spirit Chat. So wherever you listen to podcasts, you can listen and tune in there. You and I are on that one. HelenPeacock.ca, and then all my information is all there and you can book from there as well.
Right. .ca for Canada.
Helen.com. .ca.
.ca. Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe, share, leave a comment, leave a review wherever you're listening or watching this. And in the meantime, sending you lots of love from Sweet Home Alabama. Mwah! And from Canada,
and from
too.
Ontario, Canada. Mwah!
Mwah! Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow Julie on Instagram and YouTube at Ask Julie Ryan. and like her on Facebook at Ask Julie Ryan. To schedule an appointment or submit a question, please visit AskJulieRyan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be medical, psychological, financial, or legal advice. Please contact a licensed professional. The Ask Julie Ryan Show, Julie Ryan, and all parties involved in producing, recording, and distributing it assume no responsibility for listeners' actions based on any information heard on this or any Ask Julie Ryan shows or podcasts.